Welcome to the More Than Fitness Podcast.
We can go ahead and we'll kick things off then, because now I can see you. I can see the glorious beard. I've missed you. I've missed chatting with you since we last spoke in New York. A lot has happened since then. But how are you doing, bro?
I'm good. Actually, today has been like kind of a absolute crapshoot because I didn't sleep last night. Woke up today and dealing with a site that's getting hit with a bunch of bot traffic. So I had to go ahead and block a bunch of IPs. It's like, just piling it on this beautiful Wednesday. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm still like, it looks like I feel with my background and stuff, it looks like I'm in like a prison or something, but I've got this one little decoration of this Himalayan salt lamp that my mom got me. So I'm all set there. Moved into the new apartment. I'm excited to be here, but yeah, now there's just like nothing around. I think you don't realize until the female figure, either your girl or your mom is like out of your life. You're like, oh, I don't decorate very often and I don't know what's typically in houses and apartments and stuff, you know?
Dude, I'm the same exact way. And Nikki and I get into spats about that because whenever we move, like she likes to set up all this stuff and like get all these things. And I'm like, Nikki, I don't care about any of this. She's like, well, you need to contribute. I'm like, I don't even know what I need to contribute. Like, I don't understand. I'm fine with having a shower curtain on two rings. I don't care.
We're very functional. But yeah, now I've realized, honestly, the biggest thing was I was thinking like, I'm okay with, you know, very minimalist stuff, but it's like, if I brought a girl over here or something, it's just like, or just like new friends or something like that. They're like, who's this sociopath with his TV on the floor and no art, like no pictures, like nothing. So yeah, I'm trying to avoid that.
Dude, when I was in my studio in the LES, like during the time of frame when Nikki and I had taken a leave of absence from each other, like my studio was set up very, very minimally. And I was always wondering, like, I wonder what people thought when they came in here. Like, this dude has like one poster up. It's like a lift poster from Massonomics. I have like 30 pairs of training shoes and then just a bed. And so I'm like, what the actual?
You got the essentials, man. You got the essentials.
Exactly. That's what matters. My shoes, my sleep, and my poster to remind me that I like to lift weights.
Perfect. As if you need more reminders.
Right.
But perfect. Okay. Real quick, just for the cats out there who don't know you, just give a quick rundown. Typically, how I do this is just like whenever you meet somebody new, and they just like, hey, Jake, what do you do? What do you tell them?
Yeah. Well, first off, I'm not really a cat person, more of a dog person, but I will speak to the cats in this context.
Perfect.
Thanks. Yeah. My name is Jake. I run a couple different businesses. Right now, my main babies are a training shoe and apparel review site. And I also have a YouTube channel where I post a lot of video reviews for those product categories, along with a lot of fitness content. Because on the side of that, my other business is a training and nutrition subscription service where I have both personal clients and then folks on the subscription service style of that business. And yeah, my background is in coaching and writing. I have an MS in sports science. I was a journalist for 5 years before splitting and doing my own thing. And I do a lot of consulting work on the side too with other trainers and coaches who are trying to build up their websites, their content, and be better seen in Google's eyes with all of those elements.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Beautiful. I love that. I'm trying to figure out the best way to take this. I think that because normally this is where I would go into some of your backstory and things like that and just kind of dig out some of those questions. But honestly, this is my show, so I'm going to do whatever I want. And I think that instead, I want to jump on the topic that me and you texted about before this. And that was, so first just tell people the adventure, tell people the trip that you just went on recently.
Yeah, so I have been working directly with a company called 10,000 for a while now. Basically, like I'm not a paid salary athlete by them. I'm just a guy that tests a lot of their gear towards strength products. I'm one of like the few guys that they have on their list of athletes that is like a power lifter or a barbell focused guy. Like they have Atwood now, and they have a couple other guys they're getting into that I've connected them with. But for like the last 3-ish years, I've been helping them develop products, and like I need to start asking for a salary, but we'll get into that later. But yeah, I've been helping them develop products, and they recently had an athlete summit, which is the first for them out in Denver, Colorado, where we basically had like 13, 14 of the core guys who were with 10,000, like initially when they were starting to get the ball rolling back in like 2017, 2018. And we all came out basically, and we did a bunch of different events to test different products. So like every day we did certain workouts in different settings with certain products designed to match those settings. And then after that, we gave a bunch of thoughts on the product. So it wasn't just like a cringy little like influencer hangout thing. Like it was more like, hey, we're here for business. Like, let's figure out how to improve these products, because like with everything, like, we can always find areas of improvement. And it was really cool getting to play a direct role in that process. But also, and this is something that I know, like, this is something we're going to unpack, but getting to work with those guys, like, these are guys that I've connected with maybe in like a short-term setting or maybe through like social media or whatever else, but I would never really have called them my like direct community, you know, like my close network. And being able to be in a setting with those folks, it kind of like shifted me in a way. And like, even after that weekend, Nikki was like, oh wow. She's like, you're being like different. And I was like, what do you mean? She's like, I don't know. Like, she's like, you're being a lot more like inclusive in the mindset of like getting more people integrated into what you do and on a daily basis, but also like in your work and stuff like that. But yeah, man, that was kind of the gist of the weekend.
What does that mean? I want to unpack that further. As far as getting more people integrated into what you're doing, are you saying like reaching out for help? Or are you saying just letting more people know like about what you're doing, or like building friendships, or what exactly?
Yeah. So I think going back to my, like, you know, it's funny, cause I was thinking about this more over this past like week and a half, trying to unpack it more, because like when Nikki and I go to like our therapy sessions too, like there's always things that I take away from that. And then I end up relating it to my daily life. And like, I guess we're just going to go deep into the backstory here. But like, I think growing up, I've always had this like chip on my shoulder, where it's like, I'm going to do it all by myself. Like, I don't need any help. I don't need anybody. Like, and that's how I often like approach my business, my training, everything. Like, I'm always like the lone guy. Like, I'll be in the gym full of like 30 people in this CrossFit gym, and they're all buddy buddy, and I'm just literally in the corner of my barbell doing my thing, getting my work done.
Dude,
and,
like, do you, I'm sorry to cut you off. I'm going to do that sometimes. Do you do this, and you're welcome to share as much or as little as possible, but do you do this with relationships as well? Because this is something that I struggle with, is what, like, fierce independence, and just like, I have shit. Like, if there's anything wrong with me, I deal with it, right? I don't want anybody else's help. And it's because I don't want to burden them with my problems. And obviously that could be an issue in a relationship. So that's why I'm bringing that up.
Yeah, dude, I do that 100%. And you know what's funny is, like, I go through ebbs and flows too, where it's like, I need to be around people, but it doesn't mean I necessarily want to interact or have them play a role in the development of what I'm doing or how I'm feeling, yada, yada. And so it's like it's this weird internal conundrum, because I think deep down, I'm meant to be like a community person and like an extrovert. But I think over the last, I don't know, however many years, I've kind of like beat myself into this like more introverted, like lone wolf kind of guy, chip on my shoulder. Now that I'm an entrepreneur, like, it's kind of like a fuck you to the man. Like, it's this whole shift in paradigm that
it's like rogue rebel mentality type.
Exactly. And I'm realizing more and more, like, it's good to have that, because it is like, you need to have that internal drive to continue to progress and kind of work with and build things when you're feeling like at your lowest. But at the same time, this weekend kind of helped me realize, like, hey, it's actually not so bad having a community of people who align with you that can actually help you in certain ways that you can't help yourself. And like, more and more as the businesses start to grow, like, I just hit 1 year of entrepreneurship, I'm really starting to, one, hit a bandwidth issue, and two, realize that there are so many other people who are way better than I am in certain aspects of my business, that if I just let them in and actually just put my guard down a little bit and stop that mentality of like, everybody's out to get me, it would help me immensely. Because I think growing up, that was the mindset I adapted through sports, and especially through like my dad and how he approached sports and like coaching me, which was definitely not the healthiest way of coaching me. And that's why I think I have like this chip on my shoulder. Like, I left for New York when I was 19, didn't visit the school I went to, didn't visit the area at all that I moved to. And I had this vision where it's like, people in Missouri that I grew up with weren't like, they were like, what are you doing? Like, why are you going to New York? Like, that, like, whatever. And like, they didn't believe it. I was like, all right, well, you guys, I'm going to prove you all wrong. So letting that guard down has been something that's helped me a lot in the last couple of months, especially, I think, because in the context of life where I'm at. But yeah, man, it's like trying to navigate this internal conundrum of like wanting to be fiercely independent, but also realizing like, hey, having a community is healthy. Like, that's how we are as humans. Like, our ancestors, like, we grew on communities. Like, that's how we survived. Like, we can't just lone wolf everything.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. And I think even more so, I realized that a lot after, now things are different with coronavirus, but as things were starting to slow down with coronavirus and we were able to go out more often, right? And be around other people, I think I didn't realize that I needed that community in the same way that you're talking about. Like you take on that lone wolf mentality and then you're in it, and then you're in it for so long, you don't even realize that it's been so long until you've had that community aspect. And then whenever you actually get to go out to an event like this or just be around a bunch of people that are, you know, like-minded, like-hearted individuals like yourself, it can be extremely fulfilling. And you're like, holy fuck, this is like, it can even fulfill a void that maybe you didn't even realize was there. And then you get there and you're like, yes, this is what I needed.
Yeah. It was weird. Like it was like, honestly, like a breath of fresh air almost.
Right.
It was like, wow. Like I'm actually like, and you know, what's funny. I was supposed to like vlog a lot of that weekend and I got some clips, but like, I was just so enthralled and engaged in the moments that I didn't even think about social media. I didn't think about content production. I wasn't thinking about my business. And I was like, holy crap. Like this is actually a really amazing mental break. Now, what if I can combine these two and actually walk it in a healthy line? That's what I've been thinking about and exploring more, because we're going to be full nomads in October on for a couple of months. So I'm really trying to plot out like, hey, who can I go visit and walk that line of like, one, building relationship with, because I think they're cool ass human beings, but also two, figuring out how to work in some way together and leverage each other and benefit each other. And it was awesome, man. It was a nice break from my reality. Now, granted, like after that weekend, I did take like 3 days to be like fully alone, because I was like, holy crap, I'm socially taxed. But otherwise, man, it was really, really cool. I needed it way more than I thought I did.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. And I think you're exactly right. I think that people need to, maybe people can't do the nomadic lifestyle and just kind of pick up and go wherever. But I think that scheduling these types of trips, or even, you know, this is what can be so great. If there is certain conferences or like meetups or things like that, that you see online. And it's just like, I know that it can seem maybe like a big investment to a lot of people, but you have to remember that it is an investment. And then whenever you go do those things, it's just like, there's still people that you can talk to this day, right? Like if you went to a meetup 2 years ago or something like that, you can be lifelong friends with those people. And just the experience itself, you know, you just never know what can happen. And it's great.
Agreed. And I think it's hard to justify, I think, sometimes when it's like the investment part of it. But once you realize like how much I think it could build your ability to see different angles that you had never even seen in your own business and personal life and interests and hobbies, that's where I think like the big payoff comes to, where it's like, yes, you have these relationships as well, but just talking and interacting with people who play in the same field a little bit, they like, it just got so many wheels in my head turning of like, holy cow, like I could really steer into this. Holy cow, I could build out this a bit more. And like hearing from their experiences, like the pitfalls and like where they've had been, like where they've basically seen like the most growth and whatnot, you can basically build a framework that's malleable then with your framework. That's kind of how I'm trying to shift my mindset towards this community focused, more like inclusive ideology, I guess you could say.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. What about one thing that I did have down here was like, how does, because I know how it affects me, but how does like traveling affect your routine? Like whenever you go there to this place and stuff, like, are you still trying to, you know, do a similar morning routine? Or is it just kind of like, for me, it's kind of just like fly by the seat of my pants, right? I'm just trying to fucking figure this out as I'm going. I'm trying to have as much fun. I'm trying to learn as much as I can. Like you said, I'm not trying to document everything. But my routine can get really messed up. And I think that can somewhat mess with me a little bit.
Yeah. And I think there's like two aspects there that I try to keep in mind is, number one, mitigation of expectations. So always understanding, like if we are taking a month traveling, we're going to be basically living in my Tacoma, like, hey, there are going to be some days where it's probably a little bit uncomfortable, where we're not going to have all the amenities we're used to and stuff like that. And we might not have gym access for this day. So we might have to punt it to another day, et cetera. Just having that mindset, I think going into it makes a huge difference. But also like to your point too, number two, I don't really get hung up on routines. Like I have my few staples that are very, very specific for like what I need on a daily basis. These include coffee, Wi-Fi, and literally just the potential to train. Like I don't even necessarily need to train most days because I could figure it out and do something and make myself feel like I've been productive in form of physical way, but I try to actually limit my thought processes towards routine when I'm in different settings. So like when I'm home, I have my routines, but when I'm traveling, I adapt this whole different mindset where it's like, these are my non-negotiables. If I hit these, then it's like, cool. It's similar to, I feel like with training, right? When we're talking with clients, it's like having a couple of really useful triggers is better than trying to make everything perfect every single time. So that's kind of like how I approach trying to mitigate that, because like also like on that note, like Nikki's very schedule routine and like she gets very, very off really quick. So it's like also like trying to like help her ease into like this, hey, we don't know what we're doing and that's okay. Like we'll figure it out in a month from now. It'll be fine. Like we'll figure it out. Let's just make it work for now. And like, what can we do right now to like solve some of your needs, solve my needs? What are our most immediate needs that we know we can actually realistically meet and solve? And how will that then help us adapt to the setting we're in a way that's not going to make us feel stressed, feel overwhelmed, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. Yeah. I think what I also realize is whenever I do get thrown out of my routine and I have certain things that I need to get done, let's just say for work example, it's like, I know that I need to get these done for today because they're urgent or something like that. It makes me mad because of how like quickly I can get things done whenever I'm on like a deadline, whenever I'm in a different environment. Cause that's one thing that you can fall into with the routines and stuff is that you start to think like, oh, I need to do this. And then I need to do this. And then I need to do this. And for me at least, right. And I like to ramp up into like harder things. And most part that works, but whenever I'm in a different environment and then I just knock stuff out and I don't procrastinate and stuff, I'm just like, why can't I just do this like all the time?
You know, it's funny because I was actually going to ask you that because when I'm traveling, I was going to say like, when I put my head down and work, like I can get through stuff like that. So often with times when I'm traveling, I'll find my coffee, get my morning coffee spot and knock out all my work within like the first 3 to 4 hours and just kind of coast on stuff that needs a little bit of time. I know you're not a morning guy, if I remember correctly,
but correct.
I was going to ask like how you navigate that. And if you feel similarly when it comes to like being productive on the road, because like on a week to week basis, even like in my home setting, and like, I feel like this kind of speaks to like the wanting to change environments a lot. Like I have different coffee shops that I'll go to for certain days based on the tasks I have to do. So like if I have a lot of writing for the site, for example, I'll go to this really busy coffee shop down the street. And the reason it being is because it gets so busy, it overwhelms the shit out of me. And I just get my head down and I just work. And I'm like, all right, I'm going to get my coffee and then leave. But are you like, yeah, I was going to ask, basically, you basically answered my question, but if you're productive on the road.
I mean, so my road strategy, so like the last time that I went to, so here recently, whenever I went to Austin, I went there for a week. And for the most part, it's like, unless it was client related, it was, you know, it was negotiable, right? Like it was, if I had the time to do it, if there was something that came up, then I would post about it. But for the most part, whenever I am on those trips, and especially with people that I'm really looking forward to seeing and things, it's just like, I'm not there for work for the most part. Like I'm there to connect and stuff. And that whenever you talked about, I don't like think about pulling out my phone or whatever. I swear to God, I've gone to see Carter Good and Kaylin Piles 3 times. And not one time have we gotten a legit like picture, like, hey, like an influencer picture with good lighting, with the background. And it's just like, literally the last time that I went there, not this one, but the time before last, Kaylin took a video on her story of just like all of us. And then there was one where it was just like me and Carter in the view of the camera. And I recorded that video of her story and then took a screenshot of the picture of me and Carter. And then that's what I posted on my actual Instagram feed. Cause I'm just like, I've got to fucking get better pictures of these, but it's just like, I'm there for them. Like I'm there for the experience. Like I don't want to have to pull out my, although it would be great content, although it would be credibility booster, whatever the fuck you want to call it. Right. It's just like, I want to hang out and I want to be present with everybody. And it's hard to do that whenever you're constantly thinking about content.
I agree. And it's tough too, because like the people who can do both of those things really well, like Godspeed to them.
Yeah.
But equally, I think there's beauty in not being able to do that well sometimes, especially when it comes to things like that, where that type of work is going to benefit your business and then your clients indirectly. Like, I don't know, man. It's such a weird line to walk where it's like, how much like should I shift my mind towards getting content? Because yes, it will help, but also like, so will this intrinsic stuff that nobody sees. You know,
yes.
I don't, it's a tough line to walk. So I'm totally with you there.
Yeah. I think that the trade-off of possibly not being as present, and also it's just like the biggest thing, and I hate to like talk about these things as like transactional or anything like that. Like I don't expect anything from Carter and Kalen or the people that I'm around or anything like that. But it's just like the trade-off of developing a deeper friendship with them and developing, like whenever me and you hung out, right? We didn't take a picture. We didn't video anything. We talked about doing like a formal YouTube video together, right? And that's different, right? That's planned, whatever. But it's like, we didn't necessarily take a picture or anything like that. But it's because that connection, like me and you talking and developing that friendship is definitely going to pay off more so in the long run than if we would have happened to fucking snap a picture or a couple stories or something like that. You know, the trade-off just is not worth it.
Yeah, I agree. And it's like in the world we play into, it's always tough because the people who are so focused on just content, I always wonder like intrinsically and internally, like are you just leveraging this for clout or like, do you actually care?
It feels icky.
Like, yeah, I don't know, man. And it's like not everybody, obviously, like a lot of people do care, but the way it comes off, I think at times can, I don't know, be for somebody who's a bit more like, I don't know, like very into their thinking all the time and always like anxiety all over the place. It can come off at times like, oh, like, are we actually connecting or is this just kind of like a social clout kind of thing?
That's something that you have to watch out for too. Is just like, yeah, would you be my friend if, you know, X, Y, and Z didn't happen, or if this didn't happen, right? And I think that's something that you definitely have to be mindful of, especially whenever you're around, you know, bigger name people or whatever you want to call it, right?
Yeah. And it's like, it's interesting too, because like even with my work, I try to form a connection before like starting a work conversation, because like when I was at Barbin, for example, right? So I worked with a lot of different athletes. I worked with a lot of different people. And it's so funny because I knew this would happen and I had a feeling it would happen. But the moment I stopped working there, boom, stopped talking to me, everything. I was like, oh, because I can't benefit you. I'm like, the connection and bond we had through that was just work, which is fine. Like, whatever, that's to be expected. Like, I have my handful of folks that I'm still cool and close with. But at the same time, yeah, it's like kind of put like a taste in my mouth where I'm like, huh. Like,
yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah,
I don't know, man.
Yeah, I agree. But yeah, again, I think the opportunity cost is not worth the content. And this goes for people. So like, obviously, not everybody listening to this is going to be a coach or a content creator. But I think even just people who are, you know, a lot of people go on vacation just for the picture that they're going to take for Instagram and stuff, right? Like, maybe not the only reason, right? But that's one of the things that they're considering. And I think especially like younger generations, for sure. Like I know my sister, who is just like, she doesn't have tons of things to sell. She's into fashion and stuff. She does a better job on social media than I do. And it's like, it is my job, but she's always the one, we'll be like walking around naturally. And then she'll like put her phone down on the steps and like take a video of her like walking down the steps or just little things here and there that I'm like, I never even thought of doing that. And so it's just like, yeah, the younger generation is just like, I think they're gonna crush it with this type of stuff. But there's the trade-off of just like, being on their phone for 14 hours of their day. Cause I couldn't imagine what my sister's screen time is, you know?
Yeah.
So that's interesting. That's always interesting. Yeah. Okay. So you were talking about you're going to be traveling a few places. Is there any on the list that you're already for sure going to?
Yeah. So we have I grew up in Missouri. And so in late September, so we're supposed to move actually to California on 9/1, but we booted that date a little bit for a few different reasons, but we're basically subleasing my buddy's place. It's like 3 blocks from where we're at now, so we can't have a little bit of routine maintenance for the next 3.5 weeks, speaking of routines, which is nice. But we got to take the dogs back to my parents in Missouri because we're also having a fish fry at the end of September. And if you're from the Midwest or anywhere in the country, like fish fries are normal, but I've learned by living on the Northeast for 10 years, like, I was like, oh yeah, I got a fish fry with my family. They're like, what the fuck is a fish fry?
Yeah,
like,
you're going to have a fish fry with a side of racism to a lot of people. That's what's going to happen. Yeah,
exactly. And so have a fish fry. So we're going to take the dogs back then. And then I think we're going to make our way down to Texas, hopefully. I want to see a few folks who I'm friends with down there, or maybe shoot across to Utah and stay at Moab with a couple buddies. We're deciding if we want to go like the south and then west, or just go west and then across, because on October 9th, I have a meet in SoCal, at SoCal Powerlifting at LA, Zach Bartel's gym. It's basically like a deadlift meet, and it's a benefit for dogs. So like deadlifts and dogs, like, dude, that's like literally the essence of my life. So I was like, oh, I'm signed up. Like, I don't live in California right now, but I'm going to sign up to this meet that's 16 hours away.
Right.
So our goal is to make it across the state. So ideally, like probably Moab is probably the more realistic based on the time, and then shoot over to San Diego, shoot up to LA, and then keep going north to Yellowstone for a week or so, shoot then east, hit a few places on the way there. I don't, Nikki has like an itinerary idea in mind. I don't really know the planning that much. And then come back to St. Louis and then shoot up to a wedding in Chicago on October 21st. So it's going to be like a 20-day like excursion of west and then north and then east and then back down and then back up to Chicago. But we'll see how she goes. I mean, like, this will be our first like bigger nomad quote unquote trip.
And what are you taking? What are you driving? Your Tacoma? Is that what you said?
Yeah, I have a Tacoma. I'm going to try to put a rack. So like, I have this whole idea.
It's just, let's fucking hear it. Let's hear it.
Since we'll be in a lot of warmer settings, I want to start camping a bit more too, and getting a bit more into overlanding with the Tacoma. So the goal is to get a rack and a tent, put it on there, save a couple dollars here and there when we're in places like Southern California where we can camp and it's not going to freeze at night.
Sure.
So the goal would be to camp and do a little bit of overlanding there. And also I want to film a series now as I travel called The Traveling Trainer, where it's like, I basically document my idea of this whole journey and also link with people on the way and learn from them. And then also it's a great way to just highlight the truck and stuff, because I think that's really cool that I'm like totally a noob at, but I think it'd be really cool to highlight the whole overlanding process, especially as a total noob, because it's funny. I was like, being in the YouTube world, I was looking at like truck channels and stuff, and people are so ruthless in the comments. And I'm like, I'm like really nervous to highlight like my setup and stuff, because you're like, you're a fucking idiot, dude. But like, yeah, I am an idiot. I don't know what to tell you. Like,
that's hilarious.
It is what it is.
People have strong opinions on these things.
Dude, it's crazy. But yeah, that would be like that's like the ideal dream scenario. But camp as we go and figure it out and try to save a little bit of money.
And your girl's cool with the camping and everything, right? She's just like, yeah, let's fucking do it.
Yeah, she wants to travel. And I think the biggest thing for her is like, she loves to travel and she wants to travel more. She just likes when I play a hand in the planning and doesn't get dumped under her plate, because I'm not the best planner at all. And like, I'm really trying to make a conscious effort moving forward too in our relationship of like planning more, trying to be a bit more ahead of the curve, like being three steps ahead of what's the next foreseeable thing, you know? So trying to contribute more there just to also level the playing field, because it's weird, because then I feel internally guilty when I don't plan, or like I don't like what we're doing and I'm like, well, I didn't plan. So
I resonate so hard. And what I'm wondering, because we did talk about this independence and thing, I feel like actually in my past relationship, she did a really good job at showing me that I was actually more selfish than I actually thought I was of myself. Do you see what I'm saying? That fierce independence, you can project that onto other people. Whereas like, it's like, I've got my shit. I'm going to handle my shit. And I also expect you to handle your shit, right? But obviously that's not how things work. So I'm wondering if you ever think like, realize, fuck, I'm more selfish than I actually thought I was. So I have to actively try harder to not do that.
No. Yeah. That's something that I think also comes with just owning your own business, and especially being like a social media-esque driven business. I think it'd be very tough to not kind of have that, like, what do I need to do this? What do I need to get done? You know? So that's something that we've also been like working on in therapy and stuff too, is like, how can I shift this from always making it seem like the Jake show? Because I can very easily do that. So we're trying to navigate that. And also it's helping my personal relationships too, with friends, her, and everyone else around me, a family, of trying to make it more of like, how can I help their needs versus just like, okay, like, let me get my needs all the time. Like, you know, like, I don't know, because there's also like fulfillment and helping others and their needs. And I think at times we can kind of be blinded by our own like independence, that if we just actually helped others, it would solve a lot of our independence issues and also make things a little bit better too, because I think there is a human fulfillment that we all have subconsciously when we are able to help someone else meet their needs, you know, and then that will always come back in a positive way. Similar to like helping out at charities and stuff like that. Like there's always like a benefit there subconsciously that isn't just because you're doing it just because you know you have to. Like, you're doing it because you want to be there. You're doing it because it's the right thing to do, yada, yada.
Right. What's interesting is this is like the going back to the content and the opportunity cost between taking that content and actually developing those friendships and things. It's just like you think that you need to take that content to get the credibility boost, to do this, to be selfish, right? And get this all your own personal gain from this. But in actuality, you'll probably get more personal gain by not worrying about that and actually focusing on the conversation at hand, or you know, going deeper with friends and things like that. And so yeah, I think that's just a testament to, we can think we need to focus on ourselves, but actually a lot of our happiness and fulfillment is going to be from doing something for someone else.
Absolutely. I think that's been like a kind of a game changer recently. Like, just being so entrepreneurial mindset, like I'm just always like me, I. And it's like, then I have like this internal guilt all the time of like, oh, I'm not being a good friend. I'm not being a good boyfriend. I'm not being a good son, yada, yada. So it's like, just even taking a little bit of effort and time and sinking it into helping out others, like it just solves all this internal guilt. And then what does that do? It actually makes my business and my well-being better. And it makes my mind state better, because it's like, no one wants to feel guilty for just living their life. And at the same time, like, not that what you're doing is necessarily wrong, but how could you actually help others around you, but then also subconsciously help yourself? It's a win-win.
You think it comes from, because whenever you talked about having the chip on your shoulder, and again, a lot that I can relate there. Do you think that the me kind of mentality, I feel like a lot of it, at least for me, a lot of it comes from fear, right? Like a fear of not... Well, two different fears. One, of everything going to shit and losing everything that I've worked hard to build for. And then two, not living up to my own potential, right? Like not feeling proud of what I'm doing on a regular basis, right? And both of those scare the fuck out of me. So I'm wondering if you related.
Yeah. And I think everybody too has their own things that kind of spark that. Like, I would say like one of mine is too, like fear of having everything go to shit. Like things are finally going well, so I'm constantly paranoid of what's going to happen next to go wrong. And then also my internal thing is, I think it's a fear of rejection, fear of not being accepted, because those are huge insecurities for me. And that's always been, and that's kind of why I have this chip. And I think I translate that into my business by being like this only me. Like if it's only me, then I can't get hurt by anybody else. Like I can't get screwed over by anybody else. So I do think that everybody has like their own few layers there that they have to unpack as to why they might have that mentality and approach towards life. And I think exploring that deeper, especially in like a growing up mindset, has helped immensely identify, like, dude, like growing up, like I had the biggest insecurity of not being liked by the cool kids. And then that, what does that do? It shifts my mindset to being like, all right, well, fuck those kids. Like I'm going to do it on my own. I don't need them. But at the same time, like, these internal narratives that we're often building then shift how we interact with the world around us. And that's not always for the better.
Mm-hmm. Do you ever get, we're getting deep here.
that's how we go, man.
Well, I was going to say, do you ever, because also another problem of mine is that I can see, I can see other people that I don't think, hate saying it, but like, I don't think that they deserve the recognition that they're getting, the clout, whatever it is, right? Whatever it is that they're getting, I'm just like, fuck, dude. And that frustrates me, because I'm like, I think what frustrates me is I'm projecting that onto them whenever they are, you know, who knows what they're doing behind the scenes. I shouldn't be judging them or whatsoever. I think really what it is a reflection back on me and myself not living up to my own expectations on a regular basis, right? And so now I've turned this into a therapy session for myself, but if you have anything to add to get me out of this, that would be great as well.
No, man, we're getting deep, but I really don't care. Like I'm always open about everything. So I don't give a shit. No, man, I think I'm the same exact way, where I cast and project my judgment onto others, because it's like, I have so much judgment on myself all the fucking time. Like I put myself onto such a weird high pedestal where it's like, this isn't real life. And then it's like, I then project that on other people. And then it's like, I catch myself all the fucking time. Like, why am I being so cynical? Like, why do I hate this? And it's because in myself, I'm recognizing like, hey, like, what could you be doing a little bit better that you're actually just like wasting energy thinking about this, not doing? And then it's like this weird subconscious thing that unless you recognize it and start to identify it, you can get into this like negative, like kind of circle or thought pattern.
Rumination, yeah. Where,
exactly. Mm-hmm. Where you're just constantly projecting onto other people. Like recently, like, fuck, I had my first like mini like panic episode where I was like projecting onto like, oh my God, my competition is killing it and I'm not doing shit. Like, what am I doing? What am I? And it's like, I shut down and like, I was like, what am I actually fucking doing?
Right.
Like, if you just focus on you and the relationships around you and just doing the best that you can, like you'll always connect with the personalities that you're meant to connect with. And now some of us will do that faster than others. And I think that's where we can project a little bit more because people do have that like kind of like marketing feel and like that perfect look that everybody like instantly connects with or like that personality. Like, but I think the right people will always connect with you if you take a step back and you're just like, okay, what can I do to improve my trade and not judge others who are like, I don't know. Cause like I try to remind myself, especially when I get in these mindsets, like someone else's success doesn't take away from your own success.
Right.
Like
right.
My channel that's growing, that competes with a bunch of other channels in the same playing field. Like we can all be successful. Like there's enough eyeballs for everybody. Like I got to get out of this mindset of like, it's a me thing. Like I got to do everything. I got to be the best. Well, it's like, man, there's so much more to life than that. And it's like, It takes away so much from our well-being. So if anybody's listening and you feel or relate to this, you're not alone there.
Yeah, I think they definitely will. And I know I definitely did because a lot of that definitely just resonated with me. And two things that I realized I feel like that exacerbates that is that's directly correlated is going to be like my time on social media, right? And then also my time like outside. You know, it's just like if I spend more time outside and or with other people, whenever I'm around, it's just because you're outside and you're doing things and you just, you know, you're not looking at the screen, or if you're with other people, you're focused on the conversations, the friendships, whatever, all of those worries tend to go away, you know, like, so do you relate with that as well?
Abso-freaking-lutely, man. Like I am trying right now and I actually have like I have a journal that I'm like trying to be better at actually using. But my things right now are number one, checking social, checking analytics for Google, so site traffic, and then checking YouTube subscribers. I put so much fucking weight into these three arbitrary metrics that then dictate my well-being on a daily basis. So like when all these three are great, like I'm the happiest human ever. But then when yesterday I had a really down day, and it wasn't a down day by any means. It was just like a slower traffic day, like fucking get over it. But internally, I put so much weight onto these things and into social, and like I'm seeing like, wow, these people are all doing this and crushing it. Like, what the fuck am I doing in my life? And it just it creates this just atmosphere of like the negative self-talk, self-judgment, projecting then my insecurities onto everyone else. And to your point, like getting outside and getting away, I think it's very important and something that I need to get better at. And this is my full recognition of this, because I am by no means trying to soapbox right now, because this is something I'm working on, setting constraints for your triggers. So like for me, for example, like only checking YouTube three times a day, when I wake up, midday, in the evening, setting aside certain times to reply to comments and go through a bunch at the same time, because otherwise I'll be replying to comments all freaking day.
Right.
It makes me more reactive. It makes me check the analytics, yada, yada, checking the site in the morning, in the evening. Like if I want to write content, go for it and be on the site as much as I want, but don't check the analytics and then dictate the success of what you're doing by the traffic and arbitrary number of people who are searching the content you're writing. Like that's by chance. And like, it's
the hardest thing, because we have to care so much about our work, because it's so hard to just, you know, try to do this career that we've voluntarily done. Right. So, you know, we can't fucking cry about it, but it also at the same time care so much, but then also not get our self-worth tangled up within it, right? And I think that's kind of the hardest thing, especially after you see, you know, a bit of success and this is kind of supporting you in things. It's very hard to not let that become a major part of your identity. And so whenever certain metrics on however you gauge success, right, it's like those can be volatile, and that can also play on your mental state.
And you know what is also like I'm realizing more and more, like internally hits me more than I realize, is when I'm in these mindsets of like dictating like my success by these arbitrary like social metrics, like I try to like, and then I feel even more guilty because I have this mindset of like I'm so privileged to be able to do what I do. Like really, like we really are. And like, yes, it's a lot of hard work, but at the same time, there are a lot of benefits. And then I think about like the people who might want to do like this type of career that will never have access to doing it, then I just feel internally even more guilty for whining and bitching about it. And it's like, it's this never ending feedback loop. So I think it's trying to separate those two, and then also recognize, like, you are a lucky motherfucker. Stop complaining and just get your head down and just do what you do. Because if you continually like elevate your game, you're going to help others who may want to connect with you or even just need to hear what you have to say in the moment, versus like me sitting and fucking being a whiny baby because subscribers were slow today. Like, who fucking cares?
I know.
You know, like the whole like reactive mind state to that is just so unhealthy, and it's been weighing on me more and more and more. And yeah, it's like trying to navigate that has been honestly probably the toughest part of being an entrepreneur. Not necessarily making a business, not necessarily making money, but it's like the internal conundrum that all this is causing has been probably my biggest task to date.
Yeah, I 100% understand. I think that one thing that is helping me, so I use the Waking Up app, the meditation app by Sam Harris, and I really enjoy it. And actually this morning, one of the things that he it's a guided meditation, but then he also goes through certain lessons and things. And one of the lessons this morning was, it was basically like understanding how cyclical these cycles are. Like the same thing that you're dealing with right now, like maybe you dealt with it, like you did deal with it a year ago as well, right? And whatever you did then, you realize that's not going to last forever. Those feelings, these negative emotions, we know that they're not going to last forever. Then something else is going to come along. We're going to do better. Like just looking at the past, looking at history, and realizing that we've had every single one of these emotions before, and we've gotten through it in the past. So it just logically, it doesn't make much sense that, well, one, that you just realize these things are cyclical. Like these are just emotions that are just, they're going to be there. And of course, like work through them and things, but giving them as much weight as we are, I think that's the key. And just understanding, hey, you're doing it again. You know, just like this is the same fucking play. This is the same rerun we've been going through for the past fucking like 5 years. And that's actually with journaling. That's why I started journaling a few years ago, not every day, but just whenever I think about it, I'll go and just type out a little bit of things. And I can go through there like 2 years ago and it'll be the same, a lot of the same shit. I'm still worried about it over and over again. So that's why it can be helpful to have like that objective evidence to be like, you're fucking crazy. Like, and you're going to get through it, but you're going to be fine. Right.
Yeah, no, I agree. And it's the better you strengthen those tools too, the better you are at, I think, navigating out of those mindsets faster and a more healthier means versus like, I don't know. I think there's beauty in also just steering into it in the world of shit and also being like, yeah, you know what? I'm being fucking negative today. It is what it is. Just accepting that internal stress, but then also realizing like, to your point, yeah, it's going to pass. I don't know. I think also like just feeling those things head on has been kind of helpful also too, because it helps me shape why they're starting in the first place and where they're being sourced from. And I think obviously the most obvious outlier is the metrics of sites and everything else. And so being able to identify that, great. All right, now where else is this stress coming from? Oh, it's because this person's like connection failed or like whatever, like was like we were supposed to connect and like they bailed. Maybe it's a reflection on me, and then I'll internally sit there and worry about that. But then it's like identifying like, hey, no, like everybody's just as busy, everybody's doing all their things. Like these are all these things that are trying to make you feel bad. Feel it, move on. How can you continue to progress even though you might feel a little shitty for the day? That's been something I've been trying to be better at.
I understand. And what it made me just think of is one of the things that I tell clients who maybe struggle with the scale a lot, they put a lot of their self-worth into the scale and the number on the scale. One of the things that I'll work on with them is having some type of gratitude practice most days where it's something not about your physique. Right. And it's something about, you know, how good of a friend you are. You know, you gave the homeless person $3, right? You listened really well to that friend who had problems, right? You have these other things that can boost you up, that feel good about yourself, that aren't, oh, my arms look really good today. My ass looks really good today. Something that's not physique driven. And I think that this is something that we could practice, me and you both could practice as well, or any type of business owner or somebody who has their identity tied up in these things. It's just like, We need other things, and we have those things. I think it just needs more of the spotlight emphasized on those things, and taking that gratitude practice like away from work, right? Or something like that. Talking about who you are as a person, or, you know, reaching out to your family or something like that. But it's just, it's fucking hard.
Yeah, great. Well, that's a great topic too. Do you do anything now? Because like I have like my four or five things that I try to do. But I'd be curious, do you have anything right now that you're doing on that front?
No, I think so somewhat. I think whenever I can, it's two things. So one, I've got to make sure that I'm not bullshitting myself and actually getting things done that I need to get done. So my way of doing that is in the morning, I'm just like, what can I do today that by the end of the day, I'm going to be like, that was a good day, right? I'm not saying that I've got to finish tons of things on my to-do list or all these whatever. It's just like, how can I count today as a good day? And I try and just ask myself that simple question and be like, oh, well, I'd like to do this, and I'd like to do this, and I'd like to do this, right? I think that's a big part of it. I think that the meditation practice, honestly, is what I found is if I only use it whenever I need it, by then I'm too far gone, right? I need to keep it mostly consistent on a regular basis so that I can, it can kind of be like a precautionary thing, right? So whenever it does hit, it's not as bad, right? So it's like the vaccine, kind of like that, right? Whenever you get COVID, it's not, the symptoms and stuff aren't going to be as bad. So I would say, yeah, the meditation, getting my shit done, and then just like grounding myself, like just in the physical, like feeling how hard this table is, right? Like hearing my voice come out, looking at your luscious beard, right? Just getting in the moment, or like scratching my leg is something that I know I've talked about on this podcast before. Whenever I'm like feeling really anxious, so getting out of my head and getting into my body, if you just like scratch on your leg and have some type of actual physical sensation, that's how you can get out of your head and kind of into your body. So you can do that with, you know, the pressure on your butt against the couch, your feet on the floor, how you can feel warmth in different areas of your body. So those are a few of the things that I think about.
I love that. I think it's so cool too. Like, and I think hearing yours really like helps me understand like how other people think and work too. Yeah. And like one of my big ones, I know you didn't ask, but I'm gonna tell you anyway.
No, please tell me.
One of my big ones that really helps me is the dogs. So the two dogs, literally like in the morning, if I'm feeling shitty, looking at them and be like, I'm so grateful for you, like little things, like you guys are great. And then taking them for a walk, taking them to the park. And like, I think seeing the happiness and like just the overall joy that they have by just existing helps kind of ground me and remind me like I really don't have it that bad. Like, especially when we look around the world these days, like,
yeah,
what do we really have to fucking complain about?
Yeah.
So that's one of my big ones. And also making a point to call some of my like closer circle friends. So some of my best friends that I never get to see because we obviously don't live in the same areas, but just calling them or shooting them longer texts and trying to do that. Like I try to send one nice long text every week to somebody who's like in my network where I'm like, hey, like I really appreciate what you do and stuff like that.
Dude, these Zoom calls are huge. The Zoom call, like if you do like non-podcast Zoom calls are they're clutch. They're great.
I agree, man. It's like similar sitting down with somebody with coffee in this day and age where it's like we have like this vast network, but since it's all internet driven, like we're not really living close to one another. And I think just internally giving care and listening to someone else, to your point earlier, like it just takes you away from the crap you might be feeling internally. Like I'm just giving to others, whether it's dogs, yourself, or the humans that surround or that are close to you in your network, like it really can just shift and be a game changer there. And it's like easier said than done always, obviously, but at least having a framework there, or at least a couple tools and tricks, like really does help. And then also if anybody listening needs a dog or two, like I'll just rent them out to you. So whichever one you want, just feel free to hit me up and I'll send them via carrier pigeon to you and they'll help you
out. Rent a dog. Perfect. No, but seriously, like that's what's funny is, and what's tough is, so through my breakup, I lost my child. I lost my cat. And so one of the things that I loved doing if I was anxious or something, and this is one of the big reasons why she got to keep it, is that like you just start petting it, right? And you start actually feeling its fur and things, and just like, and then it'll, the animal responds. I mean, with a cat, it's going to purr and stuff. It's going to give you this feedback. With a dog, it's going to wag its tail, or it's going to fall asleep or something like that. And you're just like, It's hard to be sad whenever a dog comes rushing up to you whenever you first open the door, right? Like, try to be sad whenever that thing is like, its only purpose in life is you coming home and then getting excited for you, right? So it's just like, that's the best. It's the best.
I agree. It's like a kid too. Like, the innocence of a kid.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like, how can you stay mad when a kid's just like, let's play and like, let's goof around? I mean, I'm sure if there are any parents listening who like have had long days, they're probably like, yeah, motherfucker, like, you don't know shit yet. Yeah. Wait till you have kids.
The two guys without
kids. I'm totally with you. I'm totally with you. But like, when I coach kids, I used to like it, even when I was having a bad day. But yeah, like, maybe we shouldn't even dive into that one before I have some angry moms and dads like messaging me like, you fucking prick, you don't know shit.
No, I think that they would. I listened to the Comedians podcast, and whenever their kid, like, whenever they try and get mad at their kid and then the kid gives some response back, they say, I can't help but start laughing. And it's so difficult because that, you know, you should be mad in that moment, but they're so cute and adorable that you just start laughing.
Dude, the other week, like, this is not kid related, this is dog related.
Yeah.
But the other week, like, we came back home and like, we messed up because we left a Whole Foods bag with a bunch of trash in it on the ground. And of course the dogs got into it.
Rookie move.
And so we're like, who got into this trash? Cause we have a little Shiba Inu and a little Aussie. And so like, I'm petting the Aussie, who's already like very much like on his back. Like, I fucked up. And I was smelling his head and it smelled like turkey chili. And I was like, and I went to the bedroom and I find this huge, like, Whole Foods container of like fully cleaned out turkey chili. And it's because he had his whole head in it. And I was like, dude, I can't be mad at you right now because your head literally smells like turkey chili. And I want to be so mad at you for getting into this trash that ended up like I left on the ground. But that's a great example of how like being reactive in that moment to something that was actually just internally my bad is also like kind of a, I feel like, overshadowed to a lot of our conversation today.
Yes.
Where it's like the reactivity and the negativeness we have to a lot of things, it's usually self-caused in some ways. And
There's something deeper there. There's some type of signal that it's just like, why are you getting so upset about that? It's usually something about yourself and not actually what you're reading.
Exactly.
Which can be very hard. But I think to your point, whether it is dogs or cats or something else, I think that there's something to be said about kind of setting up positivity in your life, in the sense, so for me, and people with podcasts know that I do this, like, in every morning and before I go to bed, I watch comedy podcasts. And that's because I want to start my day and end my day with a laugh. And it just sets the mood for the morning. It sets the mood for whenever I'm about to go to sleep. It can kind of get my mind distracted from certain things. But it's just like, if you're starting off in a good mood, there's a big difference between listening to a comedy podcast and then like scrolling the news about the latest whatever, right?
I love that. I actually fucking love that because my first thing when I do, when I wake up, is I check analytics and everything else. And I'm trying to get out of the mindset of that. So just wait. You're going to get on Instagram tomorrow and be like, guys, you should try out my new morning ritual. Every morning I wake up and watch comedy. You can be like, this motherfucker.
Do it. It's just like, throw it on Netflix or just like have it playing in the background. Or like, I used to do this whenever I watched The Office all the time. So it was either The Office or Family Guy. And this is whenever I lived in a group of a house with five other guys, there would be mainly two things on the TV at all times for this reason, because it put everybody in a lighthearted mood, and it was either The Office or it was Family Guy. And so it's just like, if you're finding yourself in these negative stages or negative states just reactively, it's like, also, you know, kind of plan ahead and add little positivity traps for yourself. And that's kind of how I have that built in my routine to at least be proactive about those types of things.
I love that, man. I think, we try to do that similarly with the dogs and like take them for longer walks or like do coffee walks where Nikki and I will talk about our week. And we used to do, actually, and this is something that we should probably get back into, like doing things that we're grateful for before we check our phones, like when we're out walking, taking a morning walk, getting some natural sunlight and being like, these are the things that I'm grateful for this day. And we have to like do stuff that doesn't repeat. That was something we used to do in New York City when we used to feel overwhelmed, but have since stopped in Colorado. So maybe we should integrate that back in, and maybe that would probably help where I'm at.
it's worth a try. It's worth a try at least.
100%. Couldn't be red.
There you go. All right, dude. Wow. It's already been basically an hour, which is insane. That's pretty crazy. But so let's see. I think I think I covered, that was awesome actually. Like what we, everything that we covered was not exactly where I thought we were going to go, but I'm very glad that we did because I related to a lot of the things that you said. And I know that my audience will definitely relate to a lot of it as well.
Well, dude, vice versa, man. It's, you know, it's interesting. And it's like, it's hard for, I think folks who are just listening to conceptualize this, but even like when we first met in New York City, if I'm not mistaken, like we sat down and talked for like what, 2 or 3 hours at a coffee shop, and we're like, yeah. we dove into some like personal shit, and I had never even met you.
It's probably me. I want to get deep immediately.
I don't know. And it's, you know, what's funny, it's like some people shy away from that, but at the same time, like internally, I'm always just like, why? Like, who cares? You know, it's funny, like people get so weird when I like say, like, oh yeah, like in our therapy, like people are like, ooh, and I'm like, oh, like, who cares, man? No, like, no, no. Who gives a shit? Like, that's the thing. I think podcasts like this are always my favorite to go on because I'm not saying I'm always on podcasts by any means, yeah. But like diving into my backstory, I don't know. It's like you can only get so much, but I think having a conversation like this where it's just two humans being a bit more open and not necessarily for any form of clout or gain, like it's just, I think, really refreshing. And even like on an internal friend level, like this is a conversation that I think you and I would have had whether we're podcasting or not.
Oh yeah, for sure. Absolutely.
And that's like, I think something that's so cool and very, I'm very grateful that we were able to do that, man.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I am too. I got chills from you saying that actually. So I feel that's like the essence of what I want this podcast to be. And anybody who's listened to it for a while know that this is how a lot of them usually go, right? Some people are just a little bit more closed up or maybe aren't as willing to share. But like whenever I see somebody is going to let me pry a little bit, especially honestly, what it usually comes from is my own curiosity. Like I said, a lot, whenever you said that thing about the chip on your shoulder and then being independent and like working on that and things, I'm just like, oh, that is me to a T. So it's just like a lot of these questions that I ask is my own curiosity because I, maybe this is the selfish thing coming out, but it works out because it benefits everybody. But it's just like, I'm working on it myself. So it's like, if you have something to offer, which I know you do, right? It's like, I'm going to listen. And I'm also going to keep asking because I want more and more. And typically that ends up just working out for me, for you and the audience as well. And so it's just like, I think that's a pretty good use of time, if you ask me.
100%. This is the best hour of my day so far.
Hell yeah. I love to hear it. We'll talk for a few minutes off air, but just real quick for people that want to learn more about you and what you do, where can they find you?
Yeah. So on Instagram, it's Jake_Boley, B-O-L-Y. And then on YouTube, Jake Boley. And if you want to subscribe to the channel, it would mean the world. You don't have to watch every video. You don't need to turn notifications
help
on.
His mental guys, state. Help his you, mental
you
state.
Don't even, you don't even got to like the damn videos. I don't give a shit. Even if you want to leave a mean comment here and there, go for it. Like it just helps and like really is motivating. And those are the two mediums that I'm most active on these days. And then obviously anybody who ever does want to reach out personally and ask questions or get exercise form feedback or whatever it might be, feel free to do so. You'll probably be met with a video response from me. And it usually it's funny because like I offer that on YouTube on like exercise videos and people send me form videos and I'll send back like face videos and like, holy shit. They're like, thanks so much for the help. Like, right. I'm not used to it. So like, just, I'm an open book. If you can't tell by this podcast, but reach out. And like connect, if you want to connect and if anything resonated with you, let me know. It would mean the world. Seriously.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll put those links in the description. Other than that, hopefully we'll get to see each other soon enough. Hopefully Corona doesn't get too crazy or anything, but I'd love to see you again at some point, dude.
Yeah, I 100% agree. We definitely need to make a trip out to a more east orientation to the state. So I'm thinking probably towards the fall, we're going to make a trip up to New York, New Jersey, Boston, and then maybe go up and see Maine and a couple other places. So maybe we could shoot down and land Perfect. In Kentucky at some point and then shoot over to Missouri. We'll figure it out.
Awesome. Jake, thanks so much for coming on, dude. Appreciate it.
Thank you. See you, man.
And that is that, my friends. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of the More Than Fitness podcast. And please, if you could help me out a little bit here and leave a rate and review in iTunes and also take a screenshot and post it up on your IG story. Tag me at MattMcLeod6. I'd love to share it. I'd love to connect with you. I'd love to hear your feedback about the podcast, and also so that we can share the word with other people. I would love to build up this community, build up this tribe of people that we have like you and I, and get the word out there. Also, if you want more free content, you can check the links in the description. I have my free 4-week workout plan, The Ultimate Physique Development. And also, if you want to work with me online one-on-one for personal coaching, you can check the link in the description as well. And anything else you need, please send me an email, send me a DM. I would love to hear from you. Again, thank you so much for listening.